Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review an interesting wine from France in Clarendel Rouge. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Good evening, folks. Glad to have you, whether it's morning, noon, or night. Glad you joined us, whatever time of day is.
I don't think we'd really be much of a morning listening show.
I listen.
Way to work. I'm right with you. I listen to us all the time in the mornings. Now, that's... is that self-deprecating? What do you think that is, Becky, that we do that in the morning?
It's just the time I'm in the car. I usually listen to the daily, and if I have enough time, I listen to this.
I always listen to this before the daily because this is far more informative.
Obviously, Becky has her priorities in order.
And we are also joined by the Triple B.
Yeah, good evening.
She listens to the Trader Joe's podcast. Remember that?
Yeah, I learned
it's
a lot.
It's fodder.
It's fodder, yes it is.
I listen to podcasts all day at work.
I think they were inspired by us to make that.
I need to get another good one. If anyone has any good recommendations, I can like binge during the day. This is like 2 hours a week. I need one that's more like a series, like a good true crime or something like that.
Oh, I know true crime. It's not a good one, but I know.
I will not listen to that one, but I need something else if someone else has a good recommendation.
I think, okay, so pick and choose, but some of the Joe Rogan stuff, I think he has some incredible female comedians on there that I think you'd think are funny.
And they're really long, right?
About 3 hours, between 2 and 3 hours.
How often do they come out?
Three times a week, right?
At least, if not four.
He spends a lot of time, but he makes a lot of money doing that.
I like that. I told you about the rewatchables, but they've had a lot of movies I haven't seen lately.
And I love Bill Simmons' podcast, the sports stuff. I mean, I've been a Bill Simmons fan for forever, and the rewatchables, and he has some foodie podcasts, too.
You know, there's this other podcast in wine called Wine Wars that's still around.
It's
wine in Star Wars.
That's freaking brilliant.
William's future.
I did listen one time for 5 minutes. That's all I could do.
We could do that sometime. Except I'm not as into Star Wars as you are.
I'm not as into Star Wars as they are. I'm not a big Star Wars person though. I like the original three, but not like a lot. I like them, but I like a lot of things. I like Roadhouse. I watch Demolition Man on Friday night. Love Demolition.
That's an underrated movie.
Oh, it is. It is an underrated movie. It's a fantastic movie. And Becky was watching Downton Abbey when she could be watching Demolition Man.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, not as fantastic.
You know what's the most underrated thing about Demolition Man?
Everything?
Nope.
Oh, what?
The fact that it's a fantastic U2 song.
A what?
You don't know the U2 song, Demolition Man?
I don't listen to U2. Although,
how dare you?
It was illegally uploaded to my phone by U2. Fuck you, U2. I didn't want that.
I was going to say that. That's the last
motherfuckers
time
in that
really
horrible shit-ass album.
They... wait. This is great. We've got anger from the wine guy. Who illegally uploaded something to your phone?
To all of our phones.
YouTube. They everyone would like to listen to our fucking shit
their
music.
Whole album to your phone.
And your whole album, Dances
this
with
was like
Wolves.
2 years ago?
It's like bullshit, ball sack music. I'm not 65. Okay. I don't listen to U2. Sorry, Scott.
When I'm 64.
They suck, and they always have. So
I like some of their songs, but that
really
made me mad.
When I get older.
Bunch of lame ass fucks. That's all they are. Sorry. Pardon my French.
You didn't know about the whole sex thing with him and his wife, right?
What?
That's Sting.
Oh, you're right.
That's the Police. You don't even know who they are, do
you?
No,
I do. Okay. I just messed up.
Okay.
I can't believe you knew, when just based off Scott saying that whole sex thing, you knew what he was talking about.
Well, he has idols in his life.
Well, Sting's cool. I'm cool with
they're
Sting.
They're like tantric sex people?
Yeah, that's it. Like, that was
just,
it.
Just do
that
it all it. Night. All night long.
I think for like days, all
night.
Right?
No, it was days.
Yeah, I think yeah. It's days.
Allegedly.
It's good.
It allegedly.
It might be a little chafing. You better lube up.
No.
It's just breathing.
Apparently, you don't understand about tantric sex.
No, I don't. But don't tell me. If anybody ever tells me about it, I don't want it to be you.
I just did.
So let's intro the wine.
There's no chafing.
Yes, please, let's just intro the wine. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Anyway, on tonight.
Do you want somebody else to tell you?
No. Do you want Sting? Sting can tell me. He can come on the show and talk about tantric sex.
I don't know that that's an open invitation to him.
Well, if he wants to come on the show and talk about tantric sex, he's more than welcome to.
I, for one, would welcome Sting on the show.
Yes. And I
whether
doubt
he wants to talk about tantric sex or not.
I don't think he wants.
Sting's wife.
Yeah.
No, she's famous.
Is she?
She's
not.
Is.
Oh, okay. We don't need that. Yeah. Who's Sting's wife? I don't know. I might know Sting the wrestler's wife, but I don't know Sting the.
Trudy Styler.
Oh, Trudy Styler. Who the fuck is Trudy Styler?
You know who she is.
I do.
I swear to God, I don't.
I don't.
What?
I know.
No.
I know she's into tantric sex.
No, her husband is.
Oh, so he just tantrically masturbates for a day and a half?
Oh, my Lord.
Stop.
That's how that works. So, on tonight's show.
No. We're going to find about Trudy.
We don't need to.
We do.
Okay, who the fuck is she?
You've seen her.
No, I've seen her. She's a beautiful woman.
You know who she is.
Well, I'm assuming.
She's an actress.
I didn't know that she was an actress. Yeah. I did not know that she was an actress. Okay. I swear to God.
Okay.
I'm sure she's lovely. I don't know.
That's so insincere.
It is.
I don't. Maybe she's a total. Never mind. Anyway, on the show tonight.
What kind of show do we do?
Wine show. Not a tantric sex show. Thank God.
She had Trudy Styler established a production company, and it supported new talents such as Guy Ritchie.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she's responsible for his career.
The amount of silence that came forth.
She produced and co-directed several documentaries and feature films, including Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, Snatch.
Well, I know Snatch.
And Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels is also great. Snatch is...
It was
Rob's
like...
Rob's favorite movie of all time. He quotes it all the time.
Snatch.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt.
Yes.
As the carny...
Well, Jason Statham.
Jason Statham.
No, he's not a carny. He's a gypsy.
He's a freaking carny, dude.
No, they're gypsies.
Oh, Lord.
Go back and watch it. There's no fucking carnival around there, dum-dum.
They're
gypsies.
They're referred to as carnies.
No, that's pikeys.
That's the British equivalent
of a gypsy.
Oh, Jesus.
Look it up. Anyway.
Let's get to the wine, please.
Okay.
No. The guy with gray hair, Dennis...
In Snatch?
Yes.
Dennis Farina.
Oh, my God. His role. He's such a bad
man. I've only seen it like once. Rob lives for that movie. He quotes it all the time.
Well, it's so misogynistic. There's for certain I'd understand why. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. But classic roles. Oh, my God. And the whole pikey part of them being stupid and then they turn the whole movie on top of themselves. It's freaking fantastic.
Okay.
The dog.
What's the line you quote?
Fuck the dog. I'm talking about wine. Okay.
No, the dog swallows the freaking whistle.
Do we have a dog collar with a little shocker on it to get him back? Okay. On the show tonight.
What kind of show do we do?
Wine show.
Yes. Okay.
We are going to be drinking the 2015 Clarendel Rouge from France. Now, Clarendel is interesting because of who it's related to and who owns it. Not because the wine itself is interesting.
Oh, okay.
Kind of who's related to and who owns it. Because it's a kind of.
Is it kind of related to
Steve? Are the ones that own it, period.
Who?
The winemaker of Aubryon. That's Domaine Clarence Dillon. Well, Clarence Dillon,
it's
actually.
It's Clarence Dillon.
Because he's an American. In 1935, Clarence Dillon went to France, established Aubryon. Soon thereafter, they bought some other stuff, Michelin de Aubryon. This is like a line that they start. I would call it a wine line that they started in France that they say is, and it even says on the label, inspired by Aubryon. So it's their foray into less expensive wines. This is about $18-$19. They also, a little more interesting, I believe this would be like their Grand Vin Bordeaux.
What's which, that mean?
Grand Vin.
Kind of not table wine.
Just a step above table wine.
Yes. So a basic, it's intended to be basic, not ageable drink. It's below Cru Bourgeois. Somewhere in that range, it's below that. But they also have some, in the United States, we'd say AVA specific, but let's not say that. They also have some region specific Clairendels, like Pisson Leon. They have one of those. They have one from Medoc. And it's all around the same price, mind you. So it's kind of an interesting line. If this is good, it's an interesting thing to check out. One thing about this wine is it's not, I don't know that it's released every year. 15 is the current vintage because they wanted to have a bit of maturity. And they have, I mean, Clarence Dillon Wines, they have some standards. Haute Brion, check it out. Hundreds practically every single year. Every single year. And, you know, for one of the elite of France, it's $500 a bottle, maybe a little bit less, which sounds like a lot, and it is, but that's not...
You can pay 4 or 5 times as much for a single bottle of wine.
You can. And so it's half the price of Rothschild. Give me Haute Brion. So, the Clairendel. We're going to find out what this wine's about. But first, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back. Here. On the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes, or Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or Podbean, or some other app I've never heard of, but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2015 Clairendel Rouge.
You know, more importantly, now that I've had time to reconsider, I do recall that Sting's wife, Trudy, whatever her last name was,
Skyler Stiler.
That she was a movie mogul. I do recall that now. Yeah. I couldn't have pulled that
I think she's also
out of
like
my head.
A yoga, yogi. Person too, but yeah.
Yogi? Like the bear?
No, like well, a yoga expert.
Oh, well, there's the tantrics.
I think they both are considered that. I think Sting has some kind of rating as being, whatever. No, I just wanted to reflect and show my lack of ignorance that I'm not so stupid
your
that
lack
I did
of
know
ignorance.
That. But no, you were right. I have to give you props.
Good job. That's very interesting.
No.
It is.
So could you give Becky some props there?
No, I don't give a rat's ass. So, the Clairendel, Triple B, would you like to read a little bit about this wine? There's some paperwork in front of you. You don't
That's giving
you
so death bad. Stares out of my eyeballs.
Yeah, please, yeah.
The unusual weather in 2015 was responsible for producing a vintage of extremely fine quality. Above and beyond the intrinsic elegance, balance, and complexity of Clairendel wines, this vintage is unquestionably delicious. Yeah. Where'd you find this? Their website?
Yes. Yeah. And
that's
that,
a very American intro.
That's not, that question has not been answered yet. So it's we might question that deliciousness.
I know. And like extremely fine quality. All these things. Okay. The warm spring was conducive to even flowering, followed by even warmer temperatures in June and July that led vigorous vine growth enhanced by water reserves accumulated over the rainy winter. Okay.
Yes.
The more temperate months of August and September without excessive sunshine were favorable to good ripening and refined aromatic expression. Autumn weather was ideal for maturing tannin in the grape skins. The harvest took place relatively late, and the fruit was of very high quality.
There you go.
Allegedly.
We will find that out.
Tasting notes. 2015. a delicious vintage. The wines have a deep garnet red color and feature excellent balance. They also have noticeable but moderate acidity, as well as crunchy, ripe red fruit flavors, along with hints of spice and licorice. The tannin is round, smooth, and velvety. The delicious aftertaste is rich and concentrated. I think it's funny that aftertaste. It's not the tannins are round, smooth, and velvety.
Well, they're still the French.
The tannin is round. Well, sometimes they describe it that way, as the tannin, as it's a thing. And it is. Tannin is a thing. And they.
But is it a singular?
Is. I know.
I've seen it both ways.
We've seen it both
ways. And one way probably is wrong, and I don't know which way that
is. I think you can. It's up to you as the writer to decide. Are you going to say
James
the tannin
Suckling
is wrong?
Says tannins.
Who? James?
Says probably wrong. But
this, serving suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
It tells you the temperature, but then also we suggest you open and decant it 1 hour before serving it.
We've always given people credit that mm-hmm. suggests that, because yeah. we suggest that.
We do.
But is James in the house? Because I think he has a review for this wine.
Before he does, though, it
can
is 80.
Tell the varieties?
But yes.
I can read that part, too.
You can. Wow. Good job.
83% Merlot, 10% Cabernet Sauvignon, 7% Cabernet Franc.
Yes, a nice Bordeaux blend.
Yeah.
And yes, I am Scott mentioned.
Hi, James. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Suckling?
Better than you.
That goes without saying.
It definitely, yes, it does. And better than the second reviewer. I provided this wine.
Are you going to do voices for both of them?
Yes. Of course I am.
Okay,
what's wrong with you?
Get through quickly.
No. This is the highlight of my year. I gave this wine 91 of my points.
Median score, 83.
Shut up. It's not. Dick. I said fresh nose with berries and chocolate, with hints of hazelnuts. Sandalwood as a sentence. Medium-bodied, linear, and focused with fine tannins, and a delicious finish just like me. Drink and enjoy. And then the second one is this is Wilfred Wong.
Ah, Willie!
Of wine.com.
I gave some commentary. They took this straight out of my diary again. I wish they wouldn't do that. Oh, gosh. Last week, they published all my impotency problems. It was embarrassing.
The correct is tan is you can add a plural to tannin, so it should be. The tannins are round, smooth, and velvety. Well, maybe they mean the tannin taste, flavor.
Well, it also could be Google Translate. Mm-hmm. Oh, they could not have proofread their website.
But mm-hmm. tannin is a quality in a wine, so you can refer to it as singular if you choose.
I knew I was right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
They misspelled licorice, too, but I wonder if that's just like an English or like a European.
It's true.
I get stressed out when I see this on websites, though.
Yes.
Licorice.
Mm-hmm. What I said, one always has to take note when one sees that Chateau Haut-Brion has inspired a wine. Yes, the 2015 Clarendel is a class Bordeaux AOC.
What does AOC mean?
What we said.
I don't know what you said.
It's just a step above table wine.
Yes, it's not
what
from.
What does it stand for?
It's from Bordeaux, Greater Bordeaux, but it's not from.
I understand. It's what something does AOC along, stand for? That's what I'm asking.
I'm trying to explain what it is.
I know, but I want to know what that means.
Something along the lines of the area of origin classification.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
It's saying it's from Bordeaux. It's not from a specific AVA, that's what we'd call it, within Bordeaux. So it's not from Medoc. It's not from Pomerol. It's from the greater Bordeaux Metroplex. That's what that means.
Metroplex.
Yes. I don't. Whatever. You know. Anyway, tasting notes. I didn't yell. I wrote
Revelation
it in caps.
De origine controle. Control designation of origin.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's what I was looking for.
I'm sorry.
They also use that for wine, cheese, butter, lavender.
Yep.
Yes.
And lentils.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a very common used acronym. It's just, we're not French.
How many AOCs are there in France?
14. I don't know.
Not even close.
Probably a plethora.
89.
360.
I would say it was more like that. That's stupid. Because you have very small, minute communes that classify as an AOC. Yep. That's the thing. Their AOC is our AVA, essentially. So, yes. Scott, that is absolutely...
Geographically, but not...
That's what that means.
But you know what? Okay.
It's the only way we can compare the two. AVA to AOC.
You know what I bet?
What?
I bet the French don't let something grow in Austria and say that it's French. Like our friends that let shit grow in Washington. What is it? What county is it?
Don't know.
Yes, they let things grow in different counties, and there was the whole lawsuit because it wasn't really
from
the
county.
Oh,
you mean the Alewan, Oregon?
Yep.
And
yep.
Oh, well, that's where they make it, so whatever.
So guess what? I bet the French don't let you do that.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with AOC or AVA or ASS or anything else.
I'm just saying I would almost guarantee that when they put the AOC on there, they mean it.
They do mean it.
Well, yeah, they do mean it. Yes. I mean,
no, the designation on French wine is much more serious of a designation than anything.
Well, yeah, because they're actually
laws.
And in
general, how they describe wines.
Yes. There are laws. Now, in AVA, there aren't laws. That is just the Food and Drug Administration, or, you know, they say, hey, you've got this little area. There you go. It's a growing area. And there are some sort of unique unifying properties to this growing region, where that is saying, hey, you have standards like, well, the Greater Bordeaux AOC wouldn't necessarily have ABCDFG, but if you're in Medoc, your percentages of a blend have to be this. If you're in Pomerol, your percentages of a blend have to be this. The majority, like Saint-Emilion, it's primarily Merlot, for instance. Pouillac, same thing. I think Margaux is more cab. I don't know. I don't drink Margaux.
I think it even goes beyond that. And how
that's just one aspect.
Yes, how they treat the grape, how they treat the wine, how they make the wine, how they age the wine. These things are...
From the most basic standpoint, the first thing you look at is the blend quality. The rest of it, you're really getting minute. And quite frankly, the handling, the aging, those things, especially when you're talking about AVA to AVA, you know, you're talking about one... They're all... had the same kind of resolute high standard. So that's really another. What you're really talking about is the type of grape or the type of blends.
Based on these reviews, I am very excited to taste this wine.
Well, you haven't even heard what Wilford said.
You know what I'm always excited about?
What?
Is to the fact that he's going to pair it with a habanero chutney on a red snapper.
He put
something with it different today.
I did.
A really crazy wine.
This wine is built with ripe tannin and firm in the finish. Its aromas and flavors of black fruit, savory spices, and earth should pair nicely with a thick and juicy grilled ribeye. No chutney for you.
How dare you?
And I suppose you could throw chutney on it.
I can't believe that Willie said firm.
Well, he didn't say firm. He said firm. That's the difference. He doesn't mean anything by it. He's very benign.
I have to say, I've never heard a reference to sandalwood other than to incense.
Well, I've never seen it used as just a complete sentence.
So, other than incense.
On the nose.
True. On the nose, notes of blackberry.
There's some funk.
Yeah, there's some, you know what I noticed is a little bit of a waxy crayon and baker's chocolate.
Would you say baker's this is a
chocolate?
Little darker in the glass than most Bordeaux's we see?
You know what it has, and I agree, but it almost... It has an unusual hue to it. It's not quite brick, but there is just a slight mature look to it in some fashion. And I can't really put my finger on what I'm seeing that just looks a little different, because it does have a little bit tonally, a little bit different color to it.
It's much more purple than it is red.
It is, and it just seems like it has just a slight mature edge to it. And it would for a 15, I suppose. Mm-hmm. It's interesting in that regard. The nose, I think, is a little bit
baker's
muted.
Baker's chocolate?
Yeah, dark chocolate, baker's chocolate, whatever you want to call it.
You don't smell the funk? That's what jumped out of me.
There's a little barnyardy slight funk thing going on. Mustiness about it.
There's a minerality of some note, but no specific qualities to it. It's not particularly herbaceous, but
you know what it's not particularly? alcohol.
No. What is it, about 13 and a half? Should be 13-ish.
Almost nothing.
Are they oaking
that? 13 and a half, yeah.
On,
probably French oak. No, there's no actual, I never
see. What's the other country, Hungarian?
Sometimes, but.
You think this is French?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably old French oak, probably a used French oak.
Somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. If I had to guess.
Yeah, and they're sourcing it from different vineyards within the Bordeaux greater metroplex.
And that's why this is probably akin to, again, to draw back to Rob, referencing it to American AVAs in California, but this would not be a Napa Valley, this would not be a Sonoma, this would be a Bordeaux that's going to be more akin to a California blend that you don't know what parts, you don't know where this came from in Bordeaux.
Yeah. No, you don't.
And a bit of a mutt.
Yes, that's what that. And again, do we have anything that we know this is such? No, this is just likely what it is. That's why it's marketed the way it is, and that's why it is what it is.
And just like in Napa, not all parts of Napa are created equal. Not all parts of Bordeaux are created equal.
Fact.
I mean, they have a Montcadet there, whatever the hell it is, that shit that comes from Bordeaux, for Christ's sake. But you know, at least it all comes from Bordeaux. And it tastes like a Bordeaux.
And this is distinctly marketed to Americans. Dumb Americans. And there's
nothing wrong with it. I think one thing, you might see Clarendel, but you might not see the bottom little sticker that says inspired by Old Brion. I don't think the French would get down with that personally, but but you're right.
It's a nice label, though.
Well, it's a very pretty label. You're right, though. It could be more American market driven, but at the same time, have you seen? I don't know. Have I? I might have seen a Giant Eagle before.
I think we've seen Clarendel.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Grandview Heights one, the marketplace there.
You're right. They do have it there. And I wonder what the fuck that was, and I bought it to find out. You know, it has a nice purity to it, but it's linear. There's a little bit of a lean blackberry, but it really, the main focus of this is tobacco.
There's a nice acidity.
Yes, like they said, yeah. Mid-palate.
It really is a nice. I'm not going to quite go tobacco, but it's headed that way.
I don't know.
That has a lingering finish, too.
Mm-hmm, it does.
That's my first pull on this.
It does.
I'm not. I can understand why this was described as linear, but I'm not going to necessarily agree with that.
I think that if you're saying that it's not fruity, and that's what you mean by linear, I mean, because it stays with the same type of trope, a little bit of tobacco, minerality with some acidity. There is a tart blackberry, and then there might be... there's herbs, thyme.
Are you getting the chocolate? I'm not.
No. I mean, did someone say chocolate on the palate? I said it's chocolate on the nose, but
James,
I didn't.
Oh, James Suckling did.
Yeah, I smell that on the nose, obviously, but with the baker's chocolate, whatever you want to call it. But I don't really. Yeah, it's an herb tobacco-ish thing with like a lean tart blackberry. If you normally drink Josh Cabernet, you're going to throw up if you drink this, partly because you already have an intestinal disease, but
you deserve to throw up because you drink Josh.
But yes, but if you're drinking fruity Californian Cabernets, let's just say not
y'all
Josh.
Y'all better be careful because that'll bring Josh on to our next blind taste testing.
We're suspending
I already know what I'm doing next time.
Feature. That's a little too brutal. No, it's if you're accustomed to that and then you switch over to this, it's a big jump. If you drink lean European wines, or, well, let's just call them traditional wines. Mm. If you drink wine from Europe, or just wine, which is European wine, but still, if you drink that, although we won't be able to drink it anymore because of fucking Trump, you're going to be accustomed to this. This is this is very typical of what you find in any price range. Now,
particularly
obviously,
from the fruit profile.
Absolutely. Now, once again, you're going to get just a kaleidoscope of wonderfulness as you go up the price range. But, and then even like in the $50 to $75, it's the purity of the minerality. Everything is so focused. The mouthfeel is ramped up, but it never becomes a fruit bomb. It never are Bordeaux's fruit bombs in any respect. They are akin to this. They are similar to this in many fashions. This is the blueprint.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Now, other things are built off of, but it's following the same, you know, things.
I did want to touch on the mouthfeel. For this to be one step above a table wine, the mouthfeel is very nice, very silky. It drinks like a very nice glass of wine.
A table wine, though, that's the thing. There aren't real American ways of describing it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we'll have like the California wine. Just the, you know, Josh, California, whatever. That would be the French table wine. Just, it has no geographical description. It's not really in any way, shape, or form attributed anywhere.
It's intended to drink now.
Well, but that's just one part of it. It just doesn't have anything. It has no real uniformity anywhere. So it'd be like a Cabernet from Burgundy. Who the hell grows that? Well, that's where it is. Most of it's on the Med and from Languedoc and those areas. But still, it doesn't have any type of real character associated with a region. And that would be a Californian whatever. This would be that next thing where you're saying it's from Sonoma. Sort of. But it's the $15, $16 wine that says it's from Sonoma. Well, maybe even, no. Sonoma's the only way you could say it. North Coast is probably a little bit too, because that doesn't really apply. It's more Sonoma, isn't it? I don't know. Because North, well, I don't know. There isn't comps, really. The best thing you can try to say is AVA to AVA. And Sonoma is a greater AVA, where there are sub-AVAs, or Napa, the same thing. If you say, my wine is from Napa, okay, that means it's a Mutt from multiple spots in Napa. There's Rutherford. There's Stag's Leap. You know, there's all sorts of stuff within there, and that's what that is. It's a conglomerate of those things. That's what that means. Yeah. Where if it says California, it's a conglomerate of Monterey, Central Coast, maybe some Napa, Sonoma, all sorts of shit that are rolled in there. And that would be the table wine, where this isn't that. This is saying, hey, this is a conglomeration, but it's of Bordeaux. Now, you're probably not seeing a lot of Margaux and Pomerol in this, no. But, you know, it's probably Modoc, mostly. Maybe some Pison Léon, but
so, what do you like best about this?
Yeah, that's a good question,
Becky. What do you like best about this glass of wine?
I would say two things. I think the mouthfeel is really nice, and I also, it's been a while for sure since I feel like I've had something that's been aged in French oak, and I'm having honestly a hard time picking that out.
Oak isn't a component necessarily.
It's so soft and subtle, the oaking of this. It's really nice.
So I think that those are the two things that I've noticed the most.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a couple things going on with the mouthfeel. One of the things that I particularly like about this has that, it gives you a physical sensation that this is chilled, that this is cold, and it's not. You have that kind of cooling sensation about it, and that is a different part of the mouthfeel than I think we're talking about. The mouthfeel, aside from that, is really luscious, kind of in between velvety and dairy, more towards velvety, but it's a really, for a leaner wine, this is a bigger mouthfeel.
I don't know that I'd call it lean. The fruit is lean.
It's not heavy. It's not full bodied. It's a medium bodied wine.
It's a larger medium body, but the body isn't really the focus of it. It's not intended to be that.
But it has a mouthfeel that you might have with a big Cali cab. It's a really bigger mouthfeel.
Well, one thing, think of this. Compare this to like the Meunier Vieille, that Franzac.
Mm-hmm.
That has a little bit more of an expression of fruit than this. This is a lot like the Chateau Noiron Lafarge. Whether or not that's aired at this point or not, I don't know. It reminds me a little bit of that. It's very similar to that.
It's much more traditional,
yeah,
French expression of...
Which makes you question, is this an American market wine? I don't know. I don't know. It's a good product. It's an interesting product. It's a likable product.
So... Same question to you. What is it that you like about this
wine? I find
that
the tannin on the finish, or the tannins, however you want to say it, the tannins are really something that I enjoy. It does have a bracing, chewy tannin to it, mm-hmm, while still having a flow. The wine itself has a nice flow. The fruit, we know it's not going to be the focal point of this wine. That's really not what French wine is about. It's about more nuance. However, you know, the finish really is a lovely finish. Yeah, I mean, for under $20, rarely do you find finishes like that, with the acidity balancing the tannin, with a little bit of minerality and tobacco, with just that little streak of underripe blackberry going along with it.
30-second finish.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, something like that. Something
that's, I mean, long. I didn't
time it, but yeah.
Long.
No, it's long.
Strong.
It's long for the wine.
I don't want to get
the friction on. That's a little crass, but...
I feel like saying that this belongs with a ribeye is, I don't know.
Dumb?
I was going to say generic was the word that I was going to use.
You see, that's the thing. A big, juicy ribeye is not necessarily something that's known in French cuisine. It's American. And this isn't that.
And I don't care French cuisine, American cuisine, freaking Chinese cuisine. This is not a wine that you want to pair with a big, fatty ribeye.
No.
Well, a leaner cut of steak.
Maybe. Although,
I was imagining this with, you know, sometimes you can find those really thick cut pork chops.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what
our go-to.
I was thinking that would be a very delightful.
But normally with a sweeter pork, you want something that, you want to always match the sweetness level what you're eating with the wine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And okay. So that's why we normally say.
So what would you say?
That's a problem. I think what I would suggest would be maybe not beef, perhaps a bison strip loin, or
that's a nice call,
or ostrich or something like that.
If I was going to go beef, I would go a traditional beef.
Snake? A Wuhan snake.
No, not a snake. No, that's disgusting. Okay. But maybe something that is a little bit more venison, possibly.
Mm. Gamey.
I was going to say, you go gamey?
I'm not talking about... No, I'm talking about something that is farm-raised.
Farm-raised.
Not gamey. I'm not trying to pair this with gamey. I'm talking about something that might have just a little bit more of a minerality, but it's not a sweeter meat.
Okay. You ever had elk?
Yes.
This would be fantastic with elk.
Yeah, elk can... I mean, that's the thing.
It's lean.
It is lean. Yeah, I suppose.
And there's a subtle...
Antelope.
So, Scott, what would you pair this with besides mango chutney?
I was going to go for a French style dish, but you know, beef, if you're going to go beef, like beef Burgundy.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to decide in nice, my mind about nice, some of the short ribs.
It's too rich. Well, but
maybe some, French, I don't know the names of these things, but one of those farmhouse semi-soft cheeses that are minerality, that are disgusting, that taste like feet, something like that. It is an odd food pairing, but to say a juicy ribeye, it's like, no. You're missing the point, Wilford.
No.
I just feel like when you, there are some wines that you drink and they're so big and bold, you're like, oh, this would be fantastic with a ribeye.
Oh, absolutely.
But sometimes I feel like it's like an easy way out. Oh, this would pair great with steak because it's a red.
Yeah, it's delicious, whatever.
Yeah. Maybe a flat iron. Steak fritas.
It's just easy to go like a roast chicken. It's just classic.
That might be something nice with this.
It's just classic.
Some carrots, especially like something that's like a... Oh, I think that'd be nice.
We're getting stink eye from the wine guy. Its pairing is
quail.
Always
maybe
so quail. Subjective. Mm-hmm. We've played the pairing game many times, and it's all so subjective.
But the French don't. I mean, the French don't. Well, I don't know. The French actually do believe
we
that,
would not even worry about what to pair this with for food because this is just for your Americans.
Well, no.
How dare you?
It tastes
like
all
their
recipes.
You might as well put it with a Big Mac because it doesn't matter.
Why don't you just eat it with a quarter pound with cheese?
Well, wine should be with food in France. They view that. It's all in one
thing. We do not consider anything you prepare to be food.
It is such a difficult thing, though, to truly pair it perfectly with food. I don't know.
Not
a juicy ribeye, though.
No way.
No.
One.
Yeah, no.
Roasted chicken.
Mmm. Mm. A dry-aged strip. Not a great one. A Whole Foods dry-aged strip. How's that sound?
I'll give you the stink eye back.
Yeah.
That's the best I got.
I still go back to those thick cut pork chops, which I know that you have vetoed, but I would.
I wonder what Trudy would pair with this. Hmm? I wonder what Trudy would pair with this.
Who's Trudy?
Who knows?
Sting's wife.
Oh, Trudy Styler.
Yes.
Oh. I bet she's vegan.
Yeah, I'm sure she's vegan.
I don't want to know what she would pair with this then.
Tofu.
Yeah.
Tofu.
You know, actually, I love doing a really crispy tofu in a spicy, like a Szechuan sauce. Oh. And this would be fantastic with that.
I wonder what.
Like a spicy Chinese sauce.
I wonder what Craig Walters at Allstate Insurance would pair with this.
Wendy's double cheeseburger?
Oh, please. No. I have no idea. I've never seen the man eat, so I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? I know he drinks Miller High Life. That's all I got for you. It's a champagne and beer. By the way,
who
I saw
that?
Craig.
Oh, he's a handsome man. About Sting. I was like, there's
I drank it at his office one time.
Don't doubt that Sting would sit back and have a champagne and beer with Rob the Wine Guy.
He might.
You think he's a man's man?
He might be.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Define man's man.
Are you serious?
I feel like they only drink like triple filtered spring water, and they have like a place that they get it from. Like they know which mountain their water comes from.
I never really thought that much about it.
Except on those nights where he's feeling dirty, then he has Miller High Life, the champagne and beers.
That's right. And he pours it all over himself.
Of course not. He's drinking that shit.
No, he's just making it rain right over his head.
I'll bet Sting, when he's really drunk, you know how people can spin the beer top with their finger and like poke somebody's eye a lot. But Sting's really good at that.
Rob said one of the coolest things that he's ever seen Hank do was open a wine bottle with a screwdriver.
Yeah, screw and a pair of pliers. It didn't say much for Hank, does it?
Well,
no.
He's very nifty.
Mm-hmm.
That was about it.
I feel like that's Sting too.
That's all I got for you.
Well,
sorry, Hank. Anyway, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, I'm not sure I understand this particularly well, this segment that Scott has devised. It sounds like it's simple, but it rarely is with Scott. So we're going to have him just explain it really quick.
No, it's really simple. We're just going to
put a timer on it.
It's just three things.
What's that mean?
What are three things you want to talk about?
Oh, it's that basic?
It's that basic.
You're just a basic bitch, aren't you?
I'm a basic bee.
Three things I want to talk about. All right, I'll talk about something. All right. So I went to Home Buys yesterday to buy.
We love Home Buys.
Wine. Took William with me. Okay. Didn't go so well. He needed to have his blood drawn.
to recap, William's the middle child.
Yes, but that's
he's our little illy monster.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I took him to get his blood drawn before, and so he, I said, well, they're gonna, you know, he goes, why do they need to stick a needle in my arm? I said, well, what would they stick in your arm? He goes, nothing. Well, that's a very good point. So we go in, he gets it done. It's whatever. He was actually, you know, relatively reasonable about it, much better than me. I he sat on my lap.
Which means he didn't scream like a young child that
he
is.
Yeah, he did. But I was using his head, ducking my head. I don't like that shit. Anyway, I know
Rob
it doesn't
had a nervous
hurt.
Nervous breakdown about it.
Oh, yeah, I got a headache as soon as I sat down in there. It wasn't me, it was him. But I got a throbbing migraine. Serious. Anyway,
I
just don't like needles. What am I going to say? It doesn't even hurt that bad.
I just want it to be known.
Yeah.
Rob went to our first appointment with our oldest where he got a shot and has never been back for another shot.
But they just like stick those kids like they're.
What are they supposed to do?
They get flu shots. They get like their measles. They get their DTaps. They get all kinds of shots all the time. Hep A, all this stuff. Guess who's taken them for every
Would that be you?
Single appointment.
He's not a brave man, is he?
No. I told the nurse last time, I said, you should just be, because Luke was a little bit whatever. I was like, you should just be glad Rob's not here. It's 100 times worse when he is.
Well, it sounds like they want to just put the children up on the fucking rack and see what's wrong with them every damn time, saying, oh, your kid's going to die about
Stop.
Every damn time.
Stop.
We're going to run 85,000 tests.
So.
Fucking stupid. Anyway. That's not what I was talking about. So we go up there. William saw this. This isn't my big problem. This is coming here in a second. William saw this doll thing that he wanted. And it was the most disturbing looking son of... I don't even fucking know what it was.
You found it. You showed it to me on Amazon.
I did. And I mean, I don't know what it...
It was like a possessed looking doll baby.
Yeah, it said it had a cape. And I was like, no, you don't want that. And I got him actually...
It's something... I think it must be a TV show. It's like a super baby.
When have you ever seen this TV show?
I mean, I haven't. But I don't know why they would make a line of baby dolls.
I don't know. But I got him a Star Wars Crayola tin with Darth Vader on there. And it had a 64-pack of Crayola crayons in there.
He's a fan of Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. He liked
it
when we
Vader
got home.
Darth Vader wears a cape.
He was happy when we got home. He liked that, and we drew Darth Vader. He enjoyed it. It has every color in the rainbow for him.
He actually slept with the notepad that Rob drew Darth Vader on. He slept with the whole notepad last night.
Shockingly, he really likes me. But
it
he
was
doesn't
really
it's, sometimes it's in question, though.
I know. Mm-hmm. So,
it's a good drawing.
So I go to checkout, and I had like a Visa gift card for $50, and I, you know, and so I give it to the cashier.
And you chose to use it at HomeBuys, one of the shakiest of checkout stations ever. So HomeBuys, we love HomeBuys. It's great. We get discount wines there, but HomeBuys is one of those places where it's like,
do you
swipe your credit card? Do you stick it in the slot, or you have to punch your numbers in?
And the people that are running the cash registers have been on probation for 20 years.
Oh, by the way, depending on the checkout line, they might run it through one of the stamp card things where it swipes through on a freaking carbon paper. That's HomeBuys, folks.
Well, what happened?
We love it, though. We love you, HomeBuys.
What happened was she runs it, and I think the bill is for like $96, okay? She runs it, and she goes, there's nothing left due. I mean, what do you mean there's nothing left due? That's a $50 gift card, and it's $96. That's not... No, she goes, no, it says it's all paid for. And I look back at the guy behind me, he goes, am I going to get that discount? It's like, what? I was like, I don't think that's right. No, it says that's all it was. I went, but you can't charge more than these things. It's $50, then it's done. You go to Giant Eagle, you swipe it, it stops. It just zeroes out the card. And I was like, okay. And she wouldn't, I mean, I was like, I give you $40 cash. I mean, you know.
You said William was throwing a fit.
Oh, yeah. William was screaming the whole damn time. And so I was like, fine.
That screaming child discount.
So I go out. I put the stuff in the back of the car. I'm getting to put him in the car. And here comes the dumbass fucking cash register worker coming out, walking across the parking lot.
They're
not
cashiers.
Whatever the fuck she is. Run, in a stroll. She left her fucking register in the fucking store. She's just like, there's something wrong. It's like, well, yeah, you're a fucking moron. Anyway.
How dare you?
Come on. It's not that fucking difficult. So she's like, I ran and $50 is cash. So why didn't it say I still owed 46 something? I don't know. I was like, well, let's go back in. He's screaming. But we'll go back in and fix it. We're back in there. And
did you get William out of the car?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And so we're going to leave him in the car. We go in there, and I'm standing at the fucking register. And she's like, I don't think I can fix it here. So we go up to the fucking, you know, the
customer service whatever area.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, look, I'm a patient man, but you've got like 5 minutes to fix this because it's your problem, not mine. So we go back, and this woman's like, where's your receipt? I said, it's in my car. I'm not going out to my car. You guys got to fix it yourself. I don't know what they did. And I'm standing there, and there's a line running back through there. And William just leaves. He's just walking across. I was like, what the fuck? He's going over to look at this freaky doll baby on the fucking... So whatever. I said, look, you're not... And they're like bringing shit. I said, you two are not inspiring much confidence. I said, I like to think that I'm a nice person. But I'm.
You did not say that.
I did.
Damn, you didn't.
I did.
Straight face.
I did. But
really? No.
I said. But.
Look,
I said.
Listen. We know you. We love you, brother. But you can't say openly in public.
I tell you what.
God will strike you dead.
I said. I'm not giving you a credit card. I'm not paying you anything. I've got $40 more in cash. I knew I owed you $96. I really don't care about the rest of it. You're getting $40 in cash, and that's all you're getting.
Becky, we're so sorry for your loss. Yes, Rob was in public, and he openly said that he's a good patient person.
Whatever.
God struck him down with lightning.
Well, whatever. And I was like...
But he said, here's $40 more. That's all you're getting.
That's all they're getting. I'm not letting them run my credit card. I don't know what fucking doing.
It is a place you should pay cash.
So it turns out I have $3.86 left on the card. And, I mean, I was like... Whatever. She's like, here's the card. I went, I don't. She's like, it has $3.86. I went, how is that fucking possible? You ran up $50. What she did is ran up $50 cash and said, screw it. I mean, what did you do? I have fucking no idea.
Do you think she did? She ran $50 cash and then ran that for the 46?
The balance, and I had $3.86 left on that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Local Columbus attorney caught in credit card scam.
There was no credit card. It's a gift card, dum-dum.
It is also that gift
caught
card
up part in an FBI wave of credit card and gift card abuse.
How did she figure it out?
Local attorney.
She didn't.
She was part of the scam.
But I mean, why did she come out to the parking lot?
Because she was going to be $50 short in
but
a
how
damn...
do you think she figured that out? That's what I'm saying.
Rob gave her the $20.
I have
that quickly, how 40. Did she figure it out?
I
owe 40.
That's what I'm asking. How do you think she put those pieces together so quickly to come out to the parking lot to get you?
I think she kind
of... the conspiracy. It was all pre-planned.
Seeing that she got... Well, I don't know how much money she actually got originally.
You got what I need.
Anyway, she got X amount of money, but she knew that it should be 90-some somehow. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know what she got originally. I have no... It doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know how...
$46.14.
I guess.
How are you going to feel the next time you go back in?
I'm not. I'm going to the one on Morris Road because I went to the west side one. And I knew I shouldn't
have. Why'd you go to that one?
I don't know.
You're going to go the Morris Road
I
one.
Know. I didn't, but I'm not going back to that West Side ones because they fucking hire, and I'm sorry to say this, crackheads to work the fucking register. I mean, it's like...
That place is nuts. It really is. It's a great place to find wine sometimes, but it is a crazy place.
The woman that works in the wine department, she was talking to somebody else, and she was like, you know, I used to be a wine rep, and I'd have these leftover bottles, and nope, and this is not... I'm not making this shit up. She said this to some customer. She goes, and because they were buying Arbor Mist. And so what I would do was I would take those bottles, pour them in a jug, add some simple syrup and some fruit, and you have sangria. It's like, no, you don't have sangria. You have vomit in a bottle with simple syrup. So it was like old flat wine. Nobody wanted to drink it. And she's like, so you used to be a wine rep. Then you obviously was fired because now you work retail at this shithole.
Yeah. They do have, like, some really weird things there that are nice. Like, they have that really nice Pyrex aisle. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, we love Pyrex.
Yeah, that's true. It's closeout stuff. But now they have, like, a whole kiosk of just,
like super nice
Gallo
Pyrex.
Fruit wines.
Oh. Mm. I was going to say, I got that super nice Pyrex thing that had, like, the the claw thing that you put around it that keeps your stuff warm.
Oh, yeah. We got that. That was nice.
Yeah, it was like $6.
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It's because it was stolen.
But it's so weird. That place is the weirdest place. I can't believe it. I'm kind of
the one. The one on Moore off Morris is a nicer store-ish.
Have you been to that one?
It's better.
Yeah, well.
The one on West Side is jank.
Would you let both places run your credit card, or do you pay cash?
I'm pretty much cashless, so I'm out of options. But
I didn't let him run my credit card.
That's the beauty of having a credit union that protects your credit cards.
Mm. We have it too, but I just
not there. Although they're not smart enough to commit fraud.
Well, but then there's that thing where we went to dinner with a good friend of ours and went to a high-end restaurant, and after they ran his card like 9 times there, that's when he paid extra fees in India for his credit card.
Who did that?
The barn, Stevie. Yeah.
Oh, that happened. Oh. Steve?
Yeah. That original night we went to the barn, he had issues with his credit card after that.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was the fact that somebody ordered a $40 shot of bourbon.
No, that was a different time.
Oh, okay. Oh, I remember that time,
though. How much did you pay out of that?
Fucking dumbass. I would have something. Steve's like, don't you want to know the price? No, it doesn't matter. My name is Scott. I can't even taste right now.
Gosh, dumbass. Split it four ways.
Fucking moron. Anyway, that's my thing.
That's one thing.
So Becky,
what's your other thing?
I don't have three. That would take, the show would be 19 hours if I did three things.
Well, be a little more concise.
Am I the only one that's going to do three things?
Why not?
That
I think
fine.
You tend to be enjoying this.
Number two, this is a nice thing. I bought an 8-pound pork shoulder, okay? And 10 hours at 250. A simple rub, just some chili pepper and some chili powder, paprika, a little bit of garlic powder and some thyme and pepper. 10 hours, 250, and it crisps up like that. And then about 8 minutes at 500. You take it out, run up to 500, throw it back in there just to crisp up the bottom side that's been left.
Yeah.
Oh, gorgeous. We've almost eaten all of it. William had tons.
Were you slicing it, chunking it? What were you doing?
Just shredding it.
Shredding it.
And because...
So the exterior part wasn't dry?
It was crispy.
Right. But under the crispiness, it wasn't dry?
No.
Fantastic. I love shoulder. So,
well, that's the thing. That's the thing, though. The 250, though, that outside gets that little bit of crispiness, and then it just moisturizes.
Chills and everything.
And there was a good... You picked a good piece of meat, because it had, like, enough fat on it.
Nice fat cap. Fat cap on the top. Now, what I did was just a little bit of barbecue sauce. Very little. But then stone ground mustard.
I love mustard as a countryman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, well, no, just mixed it in like the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And that just made it so thick. Mm-hmm. Reheating it, folks, throw it in a pan, a little bit of chicken broth, just put a lid on it, boom, voila, perfect.
William seriously ate this much of it.
Oh, no, seriously, he ate.
So, Becky, did Rob tell you that the same day he cooked that I cooked a 7.5-pound pork shoulder?
Yeah.
I just threw mine in a crock pot is what I did. Oh, nice. But I, my favorite.
How ordinary.
Ordinary but easy and freaking good. And what's my favorite phrase? Ooey gooey pork fat.
Yeah.
But I just use Slap Your Mama, the hot rub that I love. And I
went. Where do you buy that? Or do you make it?
No, it's a
brand name.
I get it in Florida.
Oh.
There's a spice shop in Kissimmee that I go to, and I buy 6 or 7 containers of it.
Probably give it at Jungle Gyms.
And I'll bet you can buy it on Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, though.
But I did that, a little salt. I did this hot sauce, and I also put some mustard just on the fat cap.
Mm. Yeah.
But I added pickle juice.
Oh, that's what Rob
as an
pickle
acid.
Juice. Yeah.
As an acid. Probably about 4 ounces.
I have a friend that when she makes like chicken tenders and that kind of stuff, she soaks them in pickle juice for the day and then fries them in her air fryer that night.
It's just your whatever acid you add to something, you're breaking down the fat, you're breaking down the meat, you're just cooking it essentially.
Third thing.
I thought for sure you were going to talk about a puppy dog.
No, I'm not going to talk about puppy dog. Nothing to talk about. Although I was the adult. I said we shouldn't buy one right now. Mm-hmm. We were fervently
puppy shopping.
Yeah, Becky was puppy shopping.
Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's going to be one of her three things.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're not doing three things for everybody. It takes too long.
Oh, just you.
Yes, just me. That's all that matters. No, the wines that were consumed by me and the Triple B to a lesser extent.
Why would you bring her into this question? What are the wines that you've been drinking?
Kim Crawford Pinot Noir.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Which is
Kim, really, not Love Block.
No, which is really, really nice. Mm-hmm. Especially when you can, I bought a couple bottles at $13. Mm-hmm. There was only two. I would have bought five had you. Wow. But it's such a nice little Pinot. Simple but enjoyable and true to Pinot.
Yep.
Second one was Ravenswood Barricia.
Oh my god!
That yeah.
Holy cow, Scott.
We were texting about this, and I just said Barricia, just quite simply put, is a kick-ass wine.
It is.
Well, it's cedar-esque. It really is.
We've been on it for what, about 2 years now?
Mm-hmm. I thought for sure it was a Turley. Rob loves to trick me on Ravenswoods. He can rarely ever catch me, but it is so bold. There is so much going on.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes we'll play a game where we'll try to go through all the all the flavors of it back and forth until we're out. And we didn't do it, and I really regret it because there is so much happening in that.
Barricia is everything that we love about Zinfandel. You know, in different parts of the country, it's probably different price points. For a good while, we were able to get it for about $20.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you get $22.99 now? Maybe it is.
I don't know. You bought it for me.
Yeah. So,
see, I haven't seen a Giant Eagle for $20. If I did, it's something you should buy.
It's the first wine in a really long time where I've taken a drink and been like, "Oh my gosh,
it's a rare gem in their portfolio." Not to say their portfolio isn't good; it's very good. Tedeschi is good. Big River's good. Dixon is good.
All those specific vineyard Ravenswoods.
Those are good. This is excellent.
If you had paid $75 for it, you would be like, oh, I can see that. There is much going on.
100% for sure.
Holy cow.
That is a nice number for, you know, we play what would you pay for this game?
Yeah.
You know, would I pay $75 as Barricia? I don't know. But I know when you drink that, if you think $75, you're probably not wrong.
Well, you're going to pay $75 for Cedarman if you buy it retail, and that's what it kind of tastes like. So
it's,
I thought it was for, I told Rob, I said, this is rattlesnake venom. It was great.
Mm. Big, chocolatey, a bunch of different things. Mm-hmm. Well oaked, huge tannic structure. Yes,
oh my gosh.
No, yes. But then the spiciness, we've talked about this before on air. It has kind of a couple different spicy things. It's got that classic black pepper, but it's got a little cayenne-like spice. It's and it exhibits itself in a couple different places in the wine.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit,
so good. It also, when you have a wine that is that full-bodied, then it's like difficult to judge other wines as being full-bodied. Because it is like,
It's great. It's a fruit bomb, except it's not because it's got so much other shit going on with it.
Well, last night,
Barricia gets me excited.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, last night, I wasn't going to drink any wine. We weren't going to open wine. But then Becky goes, I'm going to read. You can watch whatever you want. So I flipped on YouTube on the TV, and I turned on James May and Oz Clark's Big Wine Adventure. And I said, well, if I'm watching this, I have to drink. And so I got a bottle of the Saseo Primitivo.
Oh.
I bought four bottles yesterday. So I opened one of those and just sat there and enjoyed. And folks, if you haven't watched it, we've mentioned it before. It's a very good staged way to, well, I mean, obviously the show's staged, but way to watch and learn about wine. James May and Oz Clark's Big Wine Adventure. There's one in France, then one in California. Oh, great, 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 great show for people that love to just watch things about wine.
How many times have you seen it?
Yeah, I don't know, 3 or 4 times. Mm-hmm. It's fun too. Have you watched it, Scott?
I've not seen that.
You need to watch it.
Is it a series or it's just one program?
It's a series.
Okay.
I think there's 6 episodes in the first series. So they do
History, Food Network.
No,
what is it?
They travel.
But what?
It was on BBC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. They go to, well, Bordeaux, Burgundy, Champagne, south of France for Languedoc. In Rhone, all that stuff.
We love Languedoc and Rhone.
They're also in Alsace.
When did they film it? 90s?
No. 2005 or 6.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
In California, they do, you know, Santa Barbara, Napa, mm-hmm. Sonoma, okay. the whole gamut.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Matter of fact, one of the most interesting things in Napa is they go to Harlan. And they have a wine during Harlan. But they have a wine, they have a tasting at, Mikhail Chapoutier. They meet him. They go to there. They go to Leon Baron Pichon. They just got the Wine Spectator Top One Wine of the Year. And
nice.
Oh yeah, they go. They meet the personalities. They do all that stuff, and then they camp or drive, and they get drunk, and they're very drunk. Matter of fact, they film themselves on the California series. They're in a camper. They have a massive, like, 42-foot bus camper. And at night, they'll be in there, and that's where they slept. They really did. And they're drunk. And they're just goofing around, stoned-ass drunk. Because they take bottles of wine back there and just drink all the damn wine. And so they'll be passed out or falling down in the fucking camper. So,
I bet they didn't cook brownies on a Coleman stove.
No, they didn't. They didn't, and they didn't have the kind of camper we had. They had a much nicer one. But they also didn't just... Well, they did drive it around, but they crashed theirs.
Did they wake up with awkward smiles on their face in the morning?
No. Who did that?
Okay, I'm just curious.
All right.
I just wonder.
So, folks, we are going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with a review of the Clarendel here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2015 Clarendel Rouge from Bordeaux in France. We're going to go around the room. And we're going to get some reviews. And I want to know from each person, since this wine is inspired by Haute Brion, what are you inspired by?
What are you inspired by?
Please.
I want to know.
Hand me your ink pen, please.
You want an ink pen?
What makes your heart glow? I want to know.
Why didn't you let me use your other ink pen?
Because I don't want you to.
Why didn't you let Becky use your other ink pen? I want to know.
I want to know what fucking drug you're on, you goddamn fucking beatnik douchebag. Sorry. Shut your fucking hole. Jesus Christ.
I want to know.
Nobody wants to know. What are you writing there?
Some thoughts.
Thoughts? None of those are just contained in your brain.
I want to know, Becky, what's your thoughts? I want to know.
I have to write them down or they'll escape.
Just write them down
before
you. You make
me go first all the time so you all can piggyback off my review. See? And you don't even give me 10 seconds.
Not even 10 seconds.
To write down a thought.
You
give me this stupid pen that doesn't even work.
I rarely piggyback off your review, so go ahead.
Not often are you more than 2 points off of my review.
Not often.
Maybe that's because
never.
You're...
Rarely.
Maybe that's because you're right.
If ever.
You want me to go first?
No. I'm happy to go first.
You don't like white wine,
do sound,
tonight,
do
by
sound
the way, folks,
half wine.
Point of order. Scott and I will be drinking a white wine later. She goes, why didn't I get a white wine? I'm like, fucking son of a
We've
bitch.
Gone full circle now. White
go
wine
ahead.
For men.
Can't win.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead.
So... This is something like this is difficult for me to score because it's not something I often drink. So I don't have like a huge frame of reference.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Even if we just go French, I don't have a huge frame of reference to give a range. So my score is based off of the mouthfeel, which I love. I know mm-hmm. that's a very French thing. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. It's complex in a very nuanced way. It's not complex in an American Californian way. No. It's like you're kind of sifting through to find the different flavors, which I'm into. I feel like it's almost like a little bit more of an intellectual wine where you have to think about what you're tasting more.
That's why Scott and I like it so
much. Well, I was going to say, I feel like that's such a French thing, isn't it? Like, you have to be smarter. You can't be a stupid American.
Stupid American.
Yeah.
Fuck but, you.
We Italians. Is...
I surrender. That's German. Never mind.
Anyways, not I know that this is the beginning of, you know, something of greater things that you can make out of these grapes, whatever. But I do feel like it is complex. I am also a really big fan of the way that they've oaked this because it's just not, you have to search for it. And I think that like the exercise in pulling out the flavors, distinguishing what you can find, is great for all of us, but just really, really nice. So I am going to go 87 on this. I would totally recommend it. I don't know that I would necessarily put this in the Hall of Fame, but it's a very nice wine. I would drink it again for sure. But yeah, that's where I'm at, 87.
Uh-huh. It's one of your longer reviews.
Well, I had 10 seconds to write with a crappy pen, some thoughts.
You had a lot to say. Mm-hmm. It
come prepared.
I think relative to the entry-priced French wines we've done, this isn't spectacular, but it's really good, folks. I recommend it. Price point, it's about $19.
Yeah, a little bit less. Yeah, 18, 19, yeah.
Yeah, so I can't say I recommend it for the value price Wall of Fame simply because of the price point. But I'm going to go a little higher on the score. I'm between an 88... I'm going to go with an 88. I like this greatly. Why would I score this a little higher? Or what would it need for me to start with a number that began with a 9? I'm not sure, but it just lacks a little je ne sais quoi.
Sometimes the wine just is what it is. And I wrote down, before Becky even gave her 87, I wrote down 88.
Yeah.
I agree with the 88. Sometimes a wine is just built to be a score. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this wine. It's nothing I would say, oh, it needs fruit. No, it doesn't. It is what it is. And there isn't anything I could point to that it's to say it could be refined or this or that to become a 90. Because that's not true. This wine is an 88.
Yep.
But that's what they're trying to make. And I'll be honest, I would buy this again.
Yes, I would buy this again.
I'm not going to run out to buy it, but you know what? I'd say, you know what? I like Clarendel. It's nice. I don't necessarily like it as much as the Duran La Page.
No.
I don't like it as much as the Chateau Bellevue.
You know what I was thinking about?
But I like
about?
It.
I like it.
I was debating 87, 88 in my mind.
Yeah.
And I thought about if I was at a restaurant and it was somewhere in the $45
range.
Oh,
I would buy the hell out of this.
I don't know that I would.
But if this was $35.
That's why I went to 87.
But it makes me look fancy when you buy it.
Oh, okay.
Fancy
to...
Me.
Last night
I would look fancy to myself.
Last night we had dinner at a burger, pizza, bar, tavern, food place.
McKenzie River?
No. It was an upscale joint that kind of downscaled, but they're trying to have a nice bar.
Applebee's.
And we paid $32 for a Horse Heaven Hills Merlot.
A bottle of
Mercer.
A bottle of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. How was the Merlot? We had the cab, but how was the Merlot?
It was good.
What was the restaurant?
Formerly the Loft, Cumberland Trail, the golf course restaurant. It was good. But what I'm getting at is, if I pay $32 for Mercer, would I pay $40 for Clarendel? Yeah, I would. But I think that's a reasonable thing about this. Here's why I'm 88 and I'm not 90, and I'm not saying, oh, this is a Hall of Fame wine. this is just drink now. $19. It's kind of Americanized a little bit.
You could let it sit a couple years. I mean, maybe, it's not gonna age or mature. But you know, that's true. It doesn't have a collectability. It is also says inspired by Old Brionne. Not that, that should count, but it's a wine.
That
line,
annoys me. So that annoys me a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
I know it's a little. It's a little
kitschy.
Yeah, it's you're
dumb American. If you know wine, okay, this is the thing. If you know wine, then you should know who, you know, okay, Clarence Dillon is. Mm-hmm. And then you'd know that, oh, this is the same place that makes Old Brionne, sort of.
Okay,
and
be
then
honest,
you don't need to put that little tagline at the bottom.
My guy, what? Did you know who Clarence Dillon was till you read up on this episode for Clarence Dillon?
I knew what Old Brionne was.
You know what Old Brionne was, but you didn't know who Clarence Dillon was.
I didn't give a fuck all of who fucking, why would I? I didn't know. Well, you know what, though? I did know that an American founded it. I do remember that. I read that or was told that at some point in my life. But it wasn't an important fact, quite frankly, because no one had ever asked me.
Well,
because it is odd, and it's always been a little bit of an oddball in that whole...
Just the whole story of French wine.
Yeah, but it's one of the best, quite frankly. If someone said, hey, Rob, here's $500, go buy a Bordeaux. That's what I'm buying.
But it's also...
I actually might buy Schaefer Hillside Select and save.
We've had enough French stuff where it just puts a glimmer in our eye.
Well, I enjoy French wine. Is a good French wine.
It's good.
And it's highly recommended. It's just, if it were $15.99, it would be more of a value.
Yeah, but...
It's a little pricey.
But even beyond what we paid for it, you know, we love Eau de Lyon. We love
it's cheaper.
Louis.
Well, Eau de Lyon is first of all, it's Cru Bourgeois, so it's a step up.
Understood.
And you can get step ups at this price, or even a buck cheaper.
Yes,
that's the problem with this wine. This is a nice wine, however,
and it's not a problem. It's just you can pay less for better wine.
Yeah,
but it's really good. I mean,
well, until the tariffs hit, then fuck it. But you know.
Louis Bellon.
Oh well, yeah. Well, I don't put Rhone and Bordeaux in the same sentence because they're not the same wine, Scott. You should know that.
We know that, but and comparing apples to oranges.
And Bernard was good one vintage. They're not good like that every vintage. They're not.
Okay.
They're not. Jagal is better from vintage to vintage than Bernard is. It just is a fact.
All right.
Just true. And you've had Jagal. Do you remember Jagal?
Well, sure.
You had an Hermitage from them.
Ooh.
At the Avenue.
Mm.
You might not remember because we also had Segascio and something else. So, folks, 288s and 87 are recommended and, quite frankly, even maybe highly recommended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
like
it.
Sure.
We like it a lot. It's not a value price Hall of Fame because it's just a little bit too pricey.
Yeah,
for
it's
that.
$20.
Even though Earthquake's up there, but that got 89, so I guess that's one reason.
Well,
this is an 89.
Also, I wasn't here to rein you all in. I would have never given a $27 wine into the value price Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but I bought it at 16.
Okay.
That was, yeah. We in retrospect, we would probably pull that down.
Once again.
I'm not pulling it down.
You all, I wasn't here to rein it in. You probably had some kind of white, hey, disgusting sweet wine on the first episode.
Hey, I use the label peel off stuff, so you put the sticker on it, rips it off. And that label, the fact that I was able to rip it off perfectly like that, is the reason why it's up there. I'm just so impressed by the one time I got it right. You should see Wagner. It looks like somebody sat on it and chewed on it. It's terrible.
Like a puppy.
Yes, a Labrador puppy. We do. We love Wagner.
We love you, Wagner.
Don't be too.
Yes, we do.
Don't be too forward. They'll be afraid.
Love you, Wagner.
I'm afraid. So,
yes,
folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, who's wearing the same sweatshirt as yesterday, just notice that.
How dare you?
I'm just putting that out. We're going to bid you adieu and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.